start. Sooners of Oklahoma, 12-0, and still looking for respect nationwide.
What is going on, Sooner Nation? Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of The Barry and Mac Show. As always, myself, Barry, personal trainer and sports performance coach out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And alongside me, former Sooner wide receiver, 2000 national champ, Mr. Damian Mackey. How are we doing today, D-Mac?
Locked and loaded, baby. Doing good. Let's go ahead and dive in, man. I'm excited to talk Sooner sports.
I love it, man. So right off the top today, we haven't talked since OU got the 2024 class kind of rolling a little bit, man. They get a commitment from Jeremiah Newcomb, got him listed at 5'11", 175, 180, playing cornerback. A little different than some of the cornerbacks that we've recently seen be recruited by BV and Hall and Vali and staff. But when you turn on the tape, there's some physicality. He's a multi-sport athlete. Talked about that over there on Sooners360.com. Go check it out about how important that is from an NFL draft standpoint. But he's the guy who kind of gets things rolling for this season as OU gets into really the heart of spring, going into summer, where recruiting's really going to ramp up to hopefully have another strong close. So initial thoughts, Jeremiah Newcomb, basketball, football, offense, defense, as we've seen with BV, these guys play both sides of the ball. What are your thoughts on that? Give me the rundown.
Yeah, I look at the young man, and the thing that excites me, Barry, is twofold. Number one is it's continuing to prove we have a plan, right? You think about the measurables that you, traditionally will see with a field corner and a boundary corner. Number one, he's not a midget, right? So we don't have to worry about a 5'9 kid going up against one of the trees in the Big 12 and then even in the SEC as we transition after this season. So we know he's, and in fact, the Big 12 is out of it, right? He won't play anything but the SEC. So we know he's going to be able to stand and be a player without having a pre-snap disadvantage. 5'11 is a solid DB size. In fact, I think the average NFL DB is 5'11. I believe that number is still,
the case.
Yeah. But here's the other piece, right? You start getting a lot of guys like him what's the DB we got from Washington last cycle that doing well? Young pup just came in. They say he's doing well. Vickers spoke about him like, yeah, man, my boy.
Josiah Wagner.
Those kind of guys, they are football players that you need in space. For folks out there listening, the game of football is no longer played in a phone booth. Even teams who want to pull the guard, block down, and kick out, they want to do it with RPO action to put people in space and put people in compromising situations. And so the more guys you have on film who show versatility and the ability to, number one, play in space, number two, have an IQ, the days of see ball, hit ball, tackle ball are over, right? You may have one or like maybe a zero tech, three tech might have that responsibility. Maybe a middle backer, right? And a 21 personnel may have that responsibility, but like more so than not, you got to have guys who can think and make quick decisions. And that's what he shows. He's physical. He's a good athlete. Like you said, multiple sports. Being able to do that is huge. So the versatility, number one, and then to balance out, you don't want a bunch of 6'2", high-hipped, you know, guys who can turn and run and 1v1 scenarios, but get spread out and put in zone scenarios. And now, you know, you can beat them a wiggle with more quickness and speed. So we were getting a good variety of the 6'2"-esque type guys, you know, the Vickers, the Colbys. Those guys are going to come and be physical. Give us the ability to tell teams pre-snap, you can't just throw the fade on us or we dare you to. But also, you know, I look at him as like an AC. He reminds me of Ace Colvin, who was a guy who wasn't physically imposing, but you felt him on the field. pass coverage, just making plays on the ball. He'll come down and fill the alley, right? He'll banana the C-gap. I look at Newcomb as a kid who fulfills the role of potentially being a boundary corner. I don't think he would play field for us because he'd have too much space, but he could be a boundary corner. He could be a nickel slash small cheetah slash slot slash guy who can do a lot of other things. And here's the other piece. He continues the tradition of us proving we can go get big time names. Newcomb is a guy who was highly recruited by multiple programs. And in yesteryear with prior coaches, we could not get that caliber of kid on defense. If he was a receiver, he would be looking at OU. As a DB, he wouldn't take us very seriously, especially not being right here in our backyard in Oklahoma or in Dallas. So having him in the fold early, a name that has some pedigree, and then again, the versatility that he brings to the table. Salute to coach getting that one knocked out. It's a good win for us on the defensive side of the ball. I expect more to come.
Yeah, and just to give him his due, Castile High School out of Arizona is where he's from. So OU's going all over the place, man, to get these guys. You know, a lot of people said Venables was going to struggle because Riley's the nation recruiting guy and all that, but it does not seem to be the case. He could end up quite highly ranked too when they start re-ranking things. I know 24/7 has him as the 90th best player in the country right now at that corner. So interesting to see how that pans out. But kind of staying on the secondary tip, OU fans were a little alarmed early or kind of midweek, I guess, as we roll in on this Friday. A little bit of news came out of spring camp that a one Robert Spears Jennings possibly suffered an injury. Maybe it was serious. But by all indications, DMAC, it doesn't seem like it's maybe as big of a deal as we thought. I want to ask this kind of two-part. One, anything you know about RSJ, of course, I'm sure the fans want to know. But two, how do you think that stuff happens? Because you as a player obviously saw guys get nicked up in practice, and then you probably hear about a story in the media where it's like, hey, guy is, you know, injured. How long is it going to be? What's the deal? Why does that end up the happening? Is that just the information kind of slowly getting released, or what is that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of components that you really want to pay close attention to. Obviously, when you're in practice, right, there's kind of like three levels of injured. There's an owie, there's being hurt, and then there's being injured. And by the way, I experienced all three, right? An owie, we're in 2-a-days fall camp. Every fall, me, Kurt, Dre, and Savo, all four of us, we were good to miss a practice or two because of so much running, are growing. Like literally, we would run so much. I mean, it's just, right, you're just repping everything. You run the whole playbook like every day. There would be two practices where one of us would just like, yo, my groin is like, you know, and it's not a pulled groin, it's an owie, right? You consider that an owie. Coach, I remember my freshman year, they were like, nah, like, coach, listen, my joint is on fire. Like, look, I'll go if you want me to, but I'm just telling you. And they kind of learned by our third 2-a-days, okay, right, the amount of running we're doing, it's legit. We all were able to sit two full practices. Back then, we did two practices a day, so it might be like an afternoon practice, and then the morning practice, we were out, and some of the red shirts and walk-ons or whatever would fulfill that spot. So that's an owie. Then you got hurt, right? My junior year spring, where I was essentially the starting slot, starting punt return, starting kick return, after the national championship season, I had they were like, hey, Mackie, you're the one at the little age position. I guess it had to be. Nah, it was. Jay White throws a ball to me. It's J-Dub. And my finger breaks. In fact, the scar. Let me see if I can. I actually drop it. I miss the ball, but I look at my finger and my finger goes this way. Like just from this digit. It broke the skin. I had gloves on. So imagine, Barry, ball comes. I miss it. I look at my finger. I drop it. And I'm like, oh, dang, I dislocated my finger. I go like this, man. And blood starts coming down my wrist because it punctured. That's hurt, right? So I missed probably practice three. I missed like five practices. I missed two scrimmages. Boom, I come back. I play in the spring scrimmage. In fact, I had 100 yards, two touchdowns in the spring game going into junior season. That's hurt. I mean, that's like a hurt, right? And then there's injured. My behind goes against Jamar Mosey in practice junior year after Texas week against Kansas. I hit up on punt team. I fall down. I'm paralyzed. Negro, you injured. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's a long-term injury. When the news came out with Jennings, you know, I reserve judgment. I heard a lot of, oh, man, it's going to be terrible. If you're not there in the circle and you're watching as a spectator, a journalist, an insider, whatever, right? Whoever, you know, you see, I imagine it was a pretty polarizing situation. He made a hit, maybe he's, and then the trainers come. But like, it takes about a day to really diagnose what the injury is going to be. And so, you know, for me, I was like, let me not. You know, I heard a lot of speculation on Twitter and you know, making their runnings around the internet and such, even on 360. They're like, hey, I think he's out for the spring. And I'm like, let's just pump the brakes. You know, I made a couple calls and like, he practiced yesterday. And it was, you know, so it was just the day of, and, you know, just really gaining clarity on it's a wait and see approach. Plus, Barry, it's spring. So spring is different than fall camp. In the spring, my first spring, right? I think one of the very first pods we did, we talked about, I was 14. Spring was my opportunity to make a name for myself. Leaving spring, I was 1A, right? I was behind JT, Michael Jackson, and JJ. And I was a 14 guy. And by the way, all juniors, JJ and Mike Jackson were seniors. JT's a junior. I'm a redshirt freshman. So just in terms of like the hierarchy of longevity, I'm 14. I had to work. If I'm Jennings, unless my shoulder is broke, I know there's an opportunity here for me to go earn my stripes, especially since he got a little bit of snuff last year. He played a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity for him to solidify himself as at least a 1A. Which, if you're in the two deep, you play substantially. So, you know, when people are like, if it's a shoulder, unless it's Book. And by the way, Book played on two bad shoulders for 2 years before he finally really got messed up. I just felt like, you know, let me reserve judgment. And I don't think there's any clear decision yet because he's got a hit. It's going to be physical. There's going to be scrimmages. So it's what they're in like practice three or four. They've got 11 more practices to go. But I think it was a little premature to just assume he was shut down, even though it may have looked really bad the day, whatever the injury or the hurt happened. Again, imagine seeing blood coming out of my glove and it's like practice four. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man, he's paying people. I might have needed to amputate a finger. I missed a week and a half. They put a stent on it. They put a piece of wood and taped it. By practice 11, 12, I'm back. And then I had a very good spring game. It hurt. There was pressure catching the ball, but, you know, you played through it. So I expect him as of today to try to fight through it as a kid who has the opportunity to be at least a 1A, where you're going to get a ton of PT. And I kind of just, you know, it just reminds you, like, guys who play ball versus guys who report on ball, that there's still an ocean of being in it that differentiates to him. By the way, before I spin it back to you, shout out to Peyton Bowen and he and his family. Word on the screen is a lot of guys from the team made the trek to North Texas to spend time with he and his family. And I think that's pretty dope that as a program, you make a decision and say, hey, as coaches, as brothers, you know, when somebody's down and going through a difficult time, we address those and handle those situations together. So I think it's pretty dope that, you know, as he's dealing with, I couldn't even imagine losing a sibling, which I've lost a sibling. My youngest brother passed away a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Having the support of the team, I know that means a lot to he and his family. And I'm not surprised that a program like ours, you know, they have that kind of support for one another.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, you know, because that was one of those things where you know, people weren't seeing him out at practice, and immediately it was, you know, assuming the worst case scenario with them, and you start seeing and hearing things, and what did he do? And you just got to reserve judgment, man, until you know. And yeah, I think this staff has shown that they're not necessarily trying to hide things like, you know, the previous regime, but if there's no reason to give out information, that they're not going to, you know, on the injury stuff. That's one of those deals where, I mean, think about the average injury you see in a game. It is a solid 24 to 48 hours before you ever know, well, what's actually happened. They play the game on Saturday, right? We usually as fans don't find out until the Monday presser. So, you know, the idea that we'd be able to say or target a date on when he's coming back or if he's coming back at all, you know, there's only a handful of things that really end the season for a guy. And if it's not one of those things, then chances are he'll be okay. But man, kind of staying on the secondary stuff. And of course, we're going to go down the list throughout the spring in terms of position groups. But I want to touch on some position battles today, kind of get this started a little bit. Robert Spears Jennings, he's a guy who's going to be trying to compete for time. You've got transfer Pearson coming in. You've got Billy Bowman back. And maybe let's keep it more so to safety today. Then we'll also talk about linebacker. But there's going to be some battles this spring. I don't think last year, and we've heard a little bit of a kind of through the rumor mill that things are maybe a little more intense this spring than maybe they were a year ago, you know, and we can take that for you know, however we want. But there's nobody who I think is the incumbent, absolute, surefire starter other than probably a Billy Bowman. I think every single other position within the one to three deep is going to be up for grabs. And it's a matter of who shows up and who's the guy producing, you know, well, when they're doing the mental side, who's the guy on the physical side, you know, who's the guy who's getting the offseason work that he needs. But let's start a little bit at the safety spot. Let me ask it this way. If you had to predict who rolls out their first game this fall, who would you put your money on? And on the flip side of that, who do you see possibly struggling a little bit to hold on, and maybe you see their name pop up? Maybe not, we won't go as far as portal, but maybe there's a some questioning on how long they're going to stick around or who needs to get some work in.
So let me qualify this by saying it's too much time between now and fall to speculate fall. So what I think I can do a better job of is who's going to be your ones in the spring game. And then who's going to line up. Cause the difference between off season and summer is like during summer, we talked about this, last summer, like there's already a hierarchy of order. Like, you know what I'm saying? Coaches can't be there, but like ones go against ones. That's what it is. And every day, right? Like you go against, I had to go against Roy Lee and Ante, you know, 2000. And then I had to go against Roy Lee and Book 2001 every day. Perk was down there a little bit. Perk was playing some slot and some safety by that time. Like Maddie McCoy was a starter, but he didn't get to do one. Like, I'm not doing one-on-ones with Matt McCoy. That's my guy. By the way, I saw Matt in Vegas, but like, Matt can't hold us. You know, like, we gave Matt the juice. Matt was a good high safety who had a high IQ. By the way, Matt probably caught 5 or 6 picks. So for me to say who's going to be in the fall, y'all got to earn it again in the summer. And the summer is the hardest. Summer is the hardest time. And it's kind of like Schmitty's work. Like, that's Schmitty's baby. Winter, you got coaches stations. They see you once a week. You're in school. Coaches are recruiting, but also on campus. Summer, coaches is out of there. Like, you don't even see them. And it's Schmitty's game. It's Schmitty's world. So coming out of spring, here's what I'll say. Safeties, Billy's got to do something crazy to lose it. And even if Billy did something crazy, I think Billy has enough. Listen, Billy played well the first couple games of the season. Billy got hurt, and while he was hurt, was probably the worst period of secondary play. And then when he came back, it improved. So yeah. His value was very clearly shown on the field when he was available and then when he was not available. He's also a team guy. He's, you know, listen, like, coach is not going to market people who are not edifying the process correctly, if that makes sense. OU football, the Twitter, the IG, they're not going to overly promote guys who are not doing it the right way because it's giving them a platform that they don't necessarily deserve. And I know how Coach BV is. So when you see guys like, you know, Billy consistently, and it's consistently marketed, consistently clips and slow-mos and, you know, the whole him and Stoops, right? How dope was that? I think it was 4 or 5 days ago. They had a one-on-one and they kind of, or maybe it was an Oklahoma drill and they kind of, you know,
it was saying, the new Oklahoma drill, the way they run it now. Yeah.
I like it. By the way, that's me and Roy Lee, roommates. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, you got like, it's literally, they cut, you know, they try to punk each other. Like, that's what it is. By the way, Roy bigger than me, but we grew up together. So I knew how to handle my boy. Yeah. So, but it's good. Like, when you see that, Billy's incoming. You know, maybe that's a position like Peyton Bowen, Bowman comes in and shows some unbelievable talent where they're like, cool, this might be the two guys. And if Billy knows both and Peyton knows one, then they move for them because Billy's versatile. But aside from that, I don't see a Key Lawrence. I don't see a Harmon. I don't see any of those guys, Roe Jennings, like taking his spot, because at the end of the day, you want as many chess pieces where you can predict their outcome. Like, that's the game. You want to predict who's going to be right 90% of the time, 95% of the time, 97% of the time. That's why Roy Lee was so good. Go find film where he busts or got beat. There's not much that, you know, he was the first safety taken in the draft because he was amazing, but then he also never busted. And I think Billy is far and away, relatively speaking, versus his peers, the most predictable excellence playing and play out. So you got Billy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Put Billy to the side, right? You got Key Lawrence, who, like I said, there was a lot of talk going into last season that he was going to be the leader because he had the best film from the year before. Remember, Barry, the year before, people were talking crap about Billy because Billy played corner, he played slot, right? They had him playing a bunch of positions as a true freshman, and he didn't have a chance to excel. So Key Lawrence was really that alpha dog. When I went to that scrimmage in August, maybe it was late July, but I went to a fall scrimmage. One of those fall scrimmages that they had the alumni at, Key Lawrence was the dude. Billy wasn't the dude. Billy was getting a lot of talk of he was having a great fall camp and he had had a good summer. But like, Key was the guy because the prior season, he was the best DB and they saw that on film, right? So Key's going to be in the mix. And Key, you know, I've heard that he kind of been his feeling, you know, just not 100% off season. I'm going to say it like that. Like, who am I to speak on the next man? But he didn't have an amazing off season. Harmon's a guy that I haven't really heard much about. I feel like he might just be a guy who's kind of getting in where he fits in, or he's a guy who sees the talent level going up and maybe like the writing's on the wall. You know what I'm saying? Or he's going to show me something this spring. Like this spring, I mean, because I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen enough. But like, listen, when we were coming up, like we were chomping at the bit. I'm going in to dig out backers so people know. Like Mackey went from 14 to like, they got to play him. Like you couldn't not say that we deserve to play. I wasn't dropping balls. And I just don't see him yet have that level of us. I would even call it aggression. That's aggression, right? When you got the backers, like, you know, T. Marshall is telling you, like, look, Becky coming in and trying to knock, but yeah, I'm trying to knock your head. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's a certain esque that you got to develop to get into that arena. And we just had dogs. If you wasn't biting, you wasn't going to play. Like, that's just what it was. So I haven't seen that from him yet. So I kind of feel like he's on the shelf. He's probably a 2. I don't think he's a 3. Hey, by the way, when coach calls you a 3, you got to be concerned that you will travel. Like if coach calls you a three, you better find like two specials. If you're a three, and let's just say you're on kickoff and you're decent, they'll replace you. They'll put another person who's more versatile, who can do kickoff and punting, or kickoff and a return man, or kickoff and is good at blocking punts, for they'll be on punt return team, right? So like if you're a three, and that was my mentality. Like my freshman year, I was like, I want to travel. I know as a three, you know, ain't no guarantee you're going to travel. So I was like, and coach told us two people was going to play. I was like, I don't even want to be a two, because the twos don't play unless one of the ones who are getting major play get hurt, get in trouble, have a big bust, a big drop. So I was like, I don't want to be a guy who might play two possessions a game, nine reps. I wanted to play. So my whole mentality was take this spring and take one of those spots. And I haven't seen it yet, but we also haven't seen a major scrimmage. So, you know, once a major scrimmage happens, and that's kind of like the biggest, brightest lights that they can avail themselves as of right now, we'll see if he makes a pick, has a profound play. You know, people hear he was consistently in the right place and making tackles. So, but I still put him on the shelf. If it were me today, I think Peyton Bowen, I always get Bowman and Bowen mixed up. I think Peyton made enough of a off-season splash with his 40 time, with some of the off-season, you know, good on good, right? They had some clips where I think he got a pick six like a week or two ago, like the last week of off-season. Yeah. I think he got a pick six, good on good. So I think he's and at the end of the day, he's a five-star, a big time win that we got against some of the biggest, baddest programs. And he's come in and shown that matches his talent. They're going to give him every opportunity to have a chance. Peyton Bowen's going to be in the mix without question, unless he gets injured or in some major scrimmages, deer in the headlights come on and he's making a bunch of mental busts. Jennings, Barry, I think he's the prototypical, I guess I'll call him the hybrid safety, which means the safety who can rob down into the box or can play over the top and hit sideline to sideline. He's a big, long, physical guy. And last year he got some snuff and he wasn't scared. He wasn't out there poodling up and looking real timid. So he's a guy. It's why when I heard about the rumor, I was kind of like, let me wait and hear before I just, you know, say aye. Because if he can play, I know he wants that 1A spot. There's going to be three safeties who get a ton of burn. That's it. Like, there's going to be three. There's going to be two, like, solidified starters, and then the first guy in at either position, right? Maybe four if they got four dudes. Then they'll have one backup or one get, you know, one-third of the possessions, two-thirds of the possessions. I think he's in that mix, Barry. And so I just feel like until he can't, like, literally can't, I just don't foresee him punking out and, oh, I'm hurt, because that's I'm hurt. You know what I'm saying? You have a concussion, you paralyzed, injured. My shoulder, everybody has a shoulder. I had shoulders. I had shoulders that were sore, AC joints. You had to wrap it up, they had to put the little thing with the hole in it. You know what I'm saying? They cut out a piece take like a thigh pad that cut a hole in it, and then they'll strap it over your shoulder pad, and then you put, like, everybody had those. I think everybody got those. You're playing football. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. But I foresee him being a guy. And then here's the other piece. Oh, my boy, Pearson. Ah, forgot about Pearson. Pearson's in the mix. Pearson might start. Key Lawrence has got to prove to Pearson that that's his spot. And I think that's healthy, right? Because like maybe 2 years ago, Key Lawrence would be like, there's a red shirt or there's a true freshman, but he's a pup and there's a learning curve. Pearson done played him. Pearson to play 4 or 5 years. And so with that, a new scheme for him he learned it in the offseason. I don't even have to question. I know last offseason, he learned the system, which means spring ball, the reps, summertime, he's going to be good to go. Fall camp, he's going to be, you know, Key Lawrence won't have a huge advantage over him like maybe an 18-year-old Peyton Bowen, who's a young kid trying to adjust to being an adult and living off campus, right? There's a lot of other variables that he's got to address. Pearson is clearly going to be in the mix. Stay healthy, young man. And I mean, just on the clips I see on the internet, he's coming down the downhill. Like you can see there's a different level of fervor to get where he need to get. You see the one where he was mic'd up and he kind of had to like stop himself, like fall down because he was coming for action. That's just an instinct that I think he's going to bring that's healthy. And then the last one is the JC kid. They got him playing corner and I get it. They want to have healthy competition all over the field. He's a guy who I think can slide inside, outside, but inside it is truly a safety position, which means he's going to learn enough of safety to be in the mix. And I also think that applies to Vickers. Vickers is also a guy who is an outside guy, but I think also has the versatility to be an inside guy, which means, like, let me give it to you like this. Vickers is a guy that if he can learn corner, which in terms of terminology and responsibility is easier, but in execution is harder. I think we both understand that, right? As a corner, you got to build a man up, and then you got to be able to zone inside out, you know, high, low. You got to be really, you know, locked in, but it's not as much responsibility as safety in terms of like pre-snap thinking, in-play thinking, responsibility, run game, quarterback, alley, over the top, right, Rob. And so if he can show, I think he's a corner first. I think Vickers is our prototypical corner moving forward, by the way. 6 foot, 6 foot one, thick trunked, physical, get his hands on you. When you play against a Kansas with inferior players, you can literally lock up outside and take them out of the play, and then you can really focus in on the junk. Right, the 100%. Junk offense that they're gonna run. So I think Vickers is our prototypical guy. But if he learns that role and we have depth at corner, then you get another plus athlete at safety, which is why I think they're doing that with the Kobe kid too. They want five dudes who are going to be assholes and aminals, like aminal. Yeah, I'm saying aminal, not animal. That's like I know how Coach B is. So it's exciting to be like, dang, I just rolled out five or six guys. You know what I'm saying? Like there's five or six dudes who like you better show up. And that's why I say Harmon, he has an opportunity, but he better show up because Pearson ain't waiting. Pearson don't got time to wait. Key Lawrence don't got time to wait. Bowen is a five star. And then you got Vickers and the JC guys come in ready to, they either come in and like, ooh, I got in by the skin of my teeth and I'm just going to float. Or they come in all business. T. Marshall came in all business. Ramon Richardson came in all business, right? Like some of these guys come in, Will Bartee, all business. And what I'm hearing is he ain't playing. So give me Bo Billy. Give me Billy and Pearson. I think that's going to be kind of like, because I think Pearson compliments Bowen well. Billy Bowman, I keep doing that. I think Pearson compliments Billy well. I think Key is a guy who, unfortunately, I'm gonna be honest, and you know, I actually know Key. Key's solid. He's a solid dude, but like it'll be interesting to see if he wants to meet that standard or kind of accept not and just kind of be a team guy, special teams guy. He's gonna travel. They know he's a guy who, you know what I'm saying? He's not gonna necessarily faint, even though he did against Florida State. He totally did. You hear this, bro? I'm sorry, bro. I gotta keep it on. How did you faint, bro? You were right there. You ducked your head and buddy ran my body. But he'll be in the mix. And I'm telling you, Vickers, I think they want him to be the prototypical corner, but let's just say he can't or he consumes it, potential guy. Obviously, Peyton is probably next up to be Billy. I wouldn't be surprised if Peyton is groomed by Billy. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the same rack together in the weight room and stuff. I just wouldn't be surprised because that's kind of like how we do it. And JC Kidd, they're going to figure out a way to get him because they've already Dolby. Said he's got the
goods. Dolby. Yeah.
Dolby. They say he got the goods. I'm just letting you know, Barry, they said offseason was hard. And they said his JC stuff wasn't unlike OG. But they also said he's got the like he's a dude. He's a ball player, he's physical, he's smart, and he's dedicated. So there's a lot of competition. Give me Billy, give me Pearson, give me Key and Peyton as key contributors, maybe one A's type guys, and then one more guy. I mean, hopefully Harmon steps up and says, I'm next. and takes that. If not, there's going to be a Vickers or Dolby or one of those other guys, or Jennings, right? Jennings is right there too. Jennings is right there. I also want to see Rowe, man. I want to see Rowe. They say he's a corner. I got to check in on that. I got to check in and see what's going on with him. A lot of options.
I mean, Vickers was pretty adamant about Rowe being, you know, at that corner spot, at least for that time. You know, as we know, all that stuff is super fluid. You know, I think it's simple, man. They, at the end of the day, we watched a certain safety run his 40 at OU's Pro Day. There is going to be no more of that. Every single guy, I mean, not say every guy, I would say 85% of everybody in the mix for safety is significantly faster than that.
Impact players, because he was counted on to be an impact. You won't have an impact player running a 4.7. That's not good for your team.
That's not good.
We didn't have anybody running a 4.6. Like if you ran a 4.6, like Matt McCoy was a 4.6 guy. Matt McCoy was a 4.6 guy. And by the way, if you watch his highlight tape from high school, Matt McCoy was cooking at Jinx. Cooking. Got to OU, different caliber of athlete. You know, I was a 4.48 guy, and like I was the slowest receiver. I was the slowest. Josh Norman was a 4.45 guy, but you know, Josh is 6'3, 210, and he ran 4.45 for the pros. Well, like they used to make fun of me because I was like a half step slower than Dre and Kurt, and you know, those guys I could race with them, but like on the clock, they was faster than me. It is what it is. So
yeah,
4.7 is that's a back. Yeah. That's a slow backer, bro.
That is that's something, and especially too, like once you've been once these coaches get the guys in that they want, if they bring in a guy like that, I'll tell guys like this or females in the off season, if you are in a position battle or you are trying to fight for a job, if you are not the fastest, or if you are not the strongest, you got to find the thing that you do elite. And that's what Matt McCoy did. Matt McCoy figured out, okay, I don't fit in here. I'm not an every down guy. I'm situational. Let me get really good at something. It's the way, you know, basketball's gotten more away from this, but it's the way guys are like, I'm not a great defender, but if I can shoot 45% from three every night, I will have a spot. But when there's not any competition and you have a situation where it is a 4.75 guy having to play significant snaps, you have your ceiling is low for what you're going to be. And you just watch, you know, Pearson at Tech, you know, he outplayed a number of guys at Tech. He outplayed a number in that game when OU played them. He outplayed everybody. At safety. So I think between him, I think Bowen will be interesting because, and I'm going to go out, not necessarily on a limb, it's what OU recruited him for, but Bowen has some special juice in the return game.
I heard they don't even have him. I gotta go and find out. I gotta get up there and see what. But that rumor, Barry, I heard he's not like it's Drake, it's Billy, it's Farouk, and one other person. It's not Bowen. I'm like, what are we
that
doing?
That would be interesting. I guess you could say just the experience piece and earning it, and you got a lot of guys who have been doing it. But he's got some special juice when it comes to the return game, man. Let's hit on linebacker a little bit. Let's focus really on the mic battle.
Give me yours.
I'm going Pearson. I'll be honest, man. I think he's going to have some problems hanging in there.
Key?
Watching Pearson move. Yeah. Watching Pearson move. Watching Bowman, knowing what Bowen is going to be looking like. I don't see a place where he sees significant snaps in the secondary unless it is, like we talked about with McCoy, unless it is situational. I think there are going to be that there was problems last year that, you know, at times we thought he might have been injured, maybe playing a little banged up. But there were other times, man, where he just got. And unless he fixes some things in the off season, unless there are some things that he can improve, it's going to be tough, man. Some guys just cannot hang in the open field with a certain level of player. And for OU, I mean, you're trying to get primed to go to the SEC. Are you going to, maybe this probably doesn't go into their mind, but maybe it's there a little bit. If you've got a guy like Dolby who can close, like I don't know what he ran 40 wise, but his close area speed and his ability to
4.51.
So that's right on par. But if he can translate that closing speed that you see on JC, just that quick 3, 5, 7 yards ability to close space, close distance, and hit. Like Key, I think for Key to have a spot, he's going to have to show the physicality consistently that he showed in spurts the past two seasons. There were moments where we said, you can't keep this guy off the field just by how he was playing, right? There were times where we talked about him, maybe Cheetah's more of a role, you know, for him. So I think there is a spot there to be had. I just don't know if he is going to be able to fully overcome, and I'm rooting for him. I thought it was awesome when he came to OU and Tennessee guy, and just I thought that was a cool story, and I like the way he carries himself for the most part. I'm a fan, but I just think sometimes athletically, man, there's things you cannot overcome, no matter how hard you try, especially when you have him on roster.
I don't think it's an athletic issue. I think it's a mental issue. But I think to your point, the inconsistency doesn't matter if it's physical or mental, right? So if he's inconsistent and he's kind of going to be in a position where it is what it is, because we've got more top shelf talent. And Harmon might be a guy just kind of like an 82. And if you're playing NCAA football, you know what I'm saying? OU is a team where you don't want a bunch of guys starting as at an 82. He got to get that to a 90. He got to get that to a 92 if he want to see the field. So those two, I think there are more questions, but Key at least has good fit. Listen, I've heard firsthand from people who say his film from the 21 season was the best of the guys returning, and they haven't forgotten that. But I've also heard his most latest film was the feint against FSU. So he's in a very pivotal time where he's got to put up or shut up, and obviously having one season, I hope he's mature enough to say at a place like this, if I start, I could go play on Sundays and man's up. I'll tell you this, B, spring is his last shot. You don't waste a lot of time on development over summer and fall camp with guys who, like I saw every year I played, there were guys who, you know, like for instance, JT was an All-American. JT's last chance was safety. And JC took it and ran with it. Wow. And he's a Norman guy. I love him. And if JT was being honest, he'd tell you. JT at receiver was just, he'd go and catch a slant and take it to the house. And then he'd have three mental busts and not be in the right hole. And Coach Spur was just like, we tried you at running back. I think he even played a little QB before we got there, or when they were trying to do some option stuff. I wasn't there yet. He played receiver with us. And they were like, okay, we're going to move you to safety. And it was really a put up or shut up year. And JT, you know, obviously locked in and got that All-American joint, and kick return, punt return was killing too. And so Key is in a situation where, like, you got to show us what you got, bro, because there's a lot of other options.
Yeah. You know, and another place where they've got options is at that middle backer spot, man. Let's talk about it a little bit. You know, last year, we saw who played almost all of the snaps at Mike all season. There was very little depth. When you went to the PFF snap count, it was, I believe the last time I looked, middle backer, Willie backer, and Cheetah. That's what it was. And Cheetah had, I think, top 4 or 5, if not top 3 in snap counts. just one single individual. This year doesn't seem to be the case. I think there are some folks maybe surprised at some of the names that are being thrown in there, and we've talked about them a ton over on 360. But give the fans some of the names, and maybe a surprising one that we didn't see last year, right? And that's catching a little buzz right now over what he did in the offseason and the start of spring. Give the fans a few names, and then who you think is probably kind of a safe bet to see some field this fall.
Middle backer.
We're just going to go middle backer today.
It's a two-horse race right now for the top spot, and it's two young pups who I think they both have different primary attributes. And then there's a couple of dark horses, right? So you're looking at, and they're all pups, but you're looking at Canik versus Kobe. And obviously, Canik is a build-a-backer. If you were to build a backer for 2023 to transition to an SEC conference where you need to be both physical and athletic, I mean, the guy is a 4-4 flat-ish backer. I mean, he's Teddy Lehman. He is. If you look at the video clips that they've shown, he looks the part. Last year, you could see he was a pup, right? He had a good body as a true freshman. He had a good body, but you could also see like the little boy aspects, not little boy, but adolescent aspects. I would never call a grown man a little boy, but the adolescent aspects, not anymore. He took off season serious. You could tell through the season he was getting bigger. Kind of reminds me of Stunts. Stunts came in as a true freshman too, and he came out there and played ball, but he looked like a pup. Canik doesn't anymore. Canik's issue is going to be, can he consistently be where he's supposed to be? He's going to come like hell on wheels. He's going to make plays backside. You're not going to be able to block him with a backside guard, or he'll run around. He will be able to beat some linemen with speed. He'll be able to kind of overextend them and duck under them and, you know, scrape across some stuff. All that stuff, he's going to be great, but running right at him and showing action, will he be where he needs to be? Will he bite and not read his keys with guards and sniffers, which are offline tight ends? Will he be physical and instinctual enough to meet in that A-gap with the proper shoulder free when they're running the RPO stuff? And will he be able to scrape to the edge on quarterback on backside RPO stuff? Like, those are the things. And then a backer push or a quarter keeps, is he going to be able to get to his respective hole? Can he get to the flats or the hash or whatever, right? That's the part where I think he's in a position right now, Barry, to get a ton of reps, right? He's going to get a ton of reps during spring, and he's going to get a gazillion reps. I guarantee you he's a guy over the summer where they're going to have him on the clipboard of if he made all the seven ons and the seven on zeros, where they're like just doing gap assignments. Because coaches aren't allowed to be there, but there's going to be a student assistant or just a designated player who coaches are going to say, I want to see who was there. And they're going to know how many reps he took, because, right, they're going to be doing a attendance for him. And it's generally 75% one-on-ones. The ones get the most reps, the twos and threes watch, and then they get to kind of migrate in. So that's Canik. By the way, if he does that, there's no competition. If Canik can overcome that, there's no competition, because there's no one who he's like what you said with Bowen. Like, he's got juice that no one else in that room has. No one. So that's that part. But on the other end, you got a kid who came in a little overweight, who some consider may not be the athlete to play in the Big 12. I think his body translates to the SEC. There's for sure a place for him in the SEC, because he's going to be a physical downhill. And here's the thing about Kobe. He doesn't miss his assignments. If Kobe got to fill the A-gap, he coming. And he's bringing some lead behind him. If Kobe has to scrape around, he's coming. Now, if Kobe has to go get Kyler Murray, he may get to the point, and then Kyler may, you know, jitterbug him and do what he's got to do. But Kobe's done himself a lot of favors by taking care of his body, losing weight, becoming a better athlete. I think he's a guy that if he ever runs a 4.71, you're never upset, right? Like, that's I don't know that that's his ceiling. who knows, right? He's got two more years to grow. You know better than anybody. He may hit another athletic growth spurt at 20, 21 and be a monster. But just, you know, 4'7", guy, 241 pounds, a burly tackle-to-tackle guy and a leader guy. He has been mentioned by others as a guy who, like, people gravitate towards. He has that innate leadership skill that people just like. Rocky Calmus had it. Like Rocky, by the way, Rocky used to get on my nerves. Shout out to Rocky Calmus, but like Rocky's kind of an irritating dude, but like on the field, Rocky is a very charismatic dude. So I think those two guys, and I think it's healthy for a coach because it's like coach can push Kanick on, well, Kobe going to be in his hole and where he's supposed to be every time. And then Kobe can push Kobe on like, well, Kanick made a play that I don't know if you can make. Right. Like, by the way, me and Josh Norman, there will be weeks, Barry, where they throw me a screen and I'll shake four people and score. And Coach Furry was like, oh, Josh, I don't know if you can do that. You know, like Josh Norton, you know, Mackie, da da da. And then there would be weeks Josh would just stiff arm somebody, run somebody over. And he knows that, like, yeah, Coach, I ain't going to be running over too many strong safeties. You know what I'm saying? So it's healthy. It's totally healthy for those two guys to kind of see the strengths and where they lie in the other. But Dark Horse is this rush. I mean, this brand new pup from IMG. Picciotti, did I say his name correctly?
Picciotti, yeah.
But you said it better. I you know, my chatties, they're not that good.
Yeah,
bro, is a ball player. Listen, and I haven't
he's
even
a big
I
don't
even
guy. Know the team.
He's a better athlete than anticipated, right? A lot of people were saying, "Oh, is he going to be too stiff, too big?" Da, da, da. He's a better athlete, and he is a. I don't even think we had a guy. I mean, Rocky was that guy for us, but Rocky was not a bad athlete. Rocky, for the Big 12 we played in, he was a dude in all aspects. Picciotti, or I don't want to mess his name up. He is probably one of the best on the chalk in the room. Right? You got stunts and puppies. Yeah, stunts and puppies. And so when a kid comes in and shows that level already of like, yo, he understands the game and responsibilities and the whys and the hows, not just the whats. Whats are pretty easy to say. Oh, what am I supposed to do? Oh, coach, I'm supposed to do this. Tell me why. Right. I gotta cover the hole because if I don't, the tight end on a slip, right? Boom, boom, boom. Tell me how. Oh man, I gotta read the guard's eye. Like those are the ones where you gotta have hundreds or maybe thousands of reps. He's the pup. And then the other dark horse just needs to gain some damn weight. He's a willy backer, though. He really is. But I just want to throw his name in there. Kip, listen, there are rumors he's a 4-4 guy. I'm like, he ran a 4-4, no ball, you know, sad. But there are, I mean, what that tells you is he's a speed guy. So he's not going to be out-athleted. And I think he showed enough in the Texas game that he ain't afraid. That boy was coming downhill, lighting ass, 210, 208, whatever the hell he was. But he's got to gain weight. And, you know, from what I hear, he worked his tail off all offseason. He just couldn't put on the weight. We had a guy named Darren Stevens who came in, I think, the 2000 class. By the way, he was like a 6'9", a high jumper and a high recruit in Texas. He just could never put on weight. Never. Like, to this day, his nickname was Slim. That was his nickname. And to this day, he's Slim. And
that's
so,
a piece. You know, that's a piece, man.
Yeah. So body-wise, we got to see if he can. I think that he could be a cheetah if he can't. But even the cheetah position is getting stacked. So it's like the depth all over the place is good. If you made me bet today, I think it's Kanick. I think Kobe is a guy who has the aptitude to learn the two mainstay second level backer positions and could be great depth off the back. I think Picciotti is a guy who will be specifically a mic, and unless there's injuries. And I think Kip is a guy who they're waiting for his body to develop because he's 100 at 230, he's 100% in the mix. He's the biggest, he's the longest, tallest, longest, and he plays coming downhill. It's what they want. He's just got to get bigger. And then you got those puppies. And you know me, I'm a Lewis fan. I'm just here to tell you, I think he starts 3 years. I'm interested to see how that develops.
Interesting. You know, and I don't think it is it is too off base to say how much that position really hindered Oklahoma a year ago.
Oh.
And it's not even, you kind of hit something with Kobe. I was on Twitter today, and a guy that I follow posted some interesting content related to sports performance. And he talked about a drill that pretty much all coaches on kind of the performance side use, or at least a variation of it. And it's where you'll have guys running sprints. And this kind of reminded me of just the reaction piece of the linebacker spot. You'll have guys running sprints. The distance is arbitrary. Let's say it's 10 yards. And in the very beginning, you're saying go. And that's it. All your fastest guys are always winning. But then you'll change it up and you'll say, I want you to go on the clap. And then so you might say go. And you'll have six or seven guys go, and then you go back, you recoach it. No, I need you guys to go on the clap. Then you'll say, well, man, I want you guys to go on even numbers only. So you'll 1, 5, 7, 9, 2. And then you'll all of a sudden, those very fast guys slow down a little bit. And what that is reaction and being able to respond to what you see and what you hear is also very different from just being fast or being a good athlete. And I think what Venables has seemed to be very good at with identifying players in the recruiting side is finding guys who, like a Picciotti, who maybe athletically we don't look at and say, man, he's this or that, or he's going to, you know, blast guys in the 40. But he gets to where he needs to be quick because he reacts well. That was a Rocky. That was a guy who just can get there when he needs to be there. And I think that is something incredibly, incredibly undervalued, you know, when looking at guys they brought in the past. Sooner Nation, we're going to keep bringing you guys these previews all spring long. We're going to dive more into stuff in the coming weeks, get to some different positions. Make sure, if you aren't, please go follow the Twitter and let us know if there's anything specific that you want us to talk about as it relates to a specific player. Maybe you want DMAC to run through some concepts. We'll talk on the sports performance side. Get on there, interact with us. DMAC, before we close out today, anything you want to say out to the people?
Yeah, man, this is an opportunity for guys to earn it. And so, you know, wherever you're hearing, whatever you're hearing, including from me, Barry, and anyone else, like, it's all speculation, right? The beauty about spring ball is, like, we're going to learn which players have the grit and the it to get where they want to go. And we're going to learn which guys make excuses and or cower to the pressure. It's a lot of pressure. And so I think it's healthy. And, you know, I always have a chip on my shoulder because we were the cohort of players who we were never given the respect of, like, our talent, right? Oh, that team. And I'm like, put us against anybody. You name the team that's in the last 20, whatever years, put us against any of them. You know what I'm saying? Talent-wise, dog-wise, good luck. If we're healthy and they're healthy, I'm just telling you, I think the 04 team's the most talented team. That's just my own opinion. When I watched those guys and I saw some of them as pups, like, yo, them is dudes. But it's the beauty of football, man. Spring ball is your opportunity to go get it. And when people ask me, you know, just about my experience, like, I always revert to spring ball, because in spring, there's enough time and enough opportunity. Like, threes get a ton of reps in spring. Twos get a ton of reps in spring, right? Spring ball is the ones and threes. Like, that's what it is. So your backups are going to be guys who, and that's why it's the phenomenon of, like, why is it that every spring somebody kills it? We think they're going to be that was a three playing with the ones, right? So, like, they mix it up so that some threes get a chance to play in a fair environment, and it's on you to take advantage of it. Like, that's what it is. Like, you get a chance to say, excuse my French, but I don't give a fudge, because listen, Barry, there's a lot of, like, there, you feel the, like, not favoritism, but like, you know what I'm saying? Some people just have more favor or, you know, like they just have a, you just feel like, you know, like a Rocky, like Rocky came in like, dude, he's getting a chance to play off the bat. And, but it's like, so, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care. Like, this is the time where like, if you got that guile to you, go get it. And it's why some guys never get it, because they make excuses, they get mad, they demonize, they're energy vampires, and they go in the locker room like, but it ain't fair. Bro, go out there and knock somebody head off. Go out there and shake somebody jaws off. Go out there and make no mental busts. And that's when this is the time. Remember, we had the conversation like, yo, bro, keep it a buck. It's only like a 1 week during fall camp or it's comp. Otherwise, it's prep. Like, fall camp is prep. That's what fall camp is. I told you, me, Kurt, Sav, Dre, Jay Norm, like, if I miss a practice, I'm still starting. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like you can come take my spot, bro. Like, nah, I missed a practice. If legit, coach ain't with no shenanigans. But if, you know, I got hurt for a day, so yeah. Like MC and those guys, they were there. They wasn't taking our spots. You know what I'm saying? They had to put in work because we put in work. So, but spring, nah, you could be a one. Like, you can go get it, unless you're behind an incumbent, a Billy Bowman, you know, a Stunts. Stunts ain't losing his spot, right? There's some guys. I mean, Bird, we're hearing Bird is killing people in practice. Literally, by the way, I heard a funny story about Bird. He killed a couple guys and whatever, right? I don't want to get too deep in details about it. But, like, this is when, as fans, as the guys who love this program, like, this is when you want to find out who is going to be on the cohort, the 2023 top squad. Like, who's that squad going to be? This is where the new guys can make a name for themselves. And I look forward to seeing who those guys are. And I look forward to seeing some of these guys who are appointed positions and didn't really have to earn them going to earning it. That's what I want to see. Because that's the only thing I knew. When I was at OU, you had to earn. You didn't give a damn about politics. Politicians kiss my ass. Go get it. And so, you know, in closing, we're in it right now. Those guys are in it right now. Stay healthy, stay physical, stay fast, and be a damn Sooner. That's really what I got to say.
Let's go. Sooner Nation, go leave us the rating and review. Make sure to share, like, all those cool things, and we will keep bringing you all this content. Go sign up at Sooners 360, and we will see you soon.